Okay, now let's move on to the canonical ensemble. The canonical ensemble is, of course, simpler because we all know how it works. The starting point is again the partition function. The partition function is named here Q, and it's a function over phase space, so d3np, d3nq, of e to minus beta h, where beta is, as usual, 1 over kt, and t is the temperature. We introduce again two factors. One is h to the power 3n, which makes the integral adimensional. And then again, for the problem of extensivity, we introduce a factor of 1 over n factorial, which makes the integration over indistinguishable particles. As usual, whenever we do statistical mechanics, we define a partition function, and then we introduce a connection between partition function and the thermodynamic potential. And in the canonical ensemble, the connection is between the Helmholtz free energy, F, and Q. So we have F equal to minus kT, the logarithm of Q. This is the usual expression. And then in the canonical ensemble, we know that we can integrate over momenta because the Hamiltonian is the sum of the kinetic energy and the potential term. So usually one distinguishes two terms in Q. One is called Z and is the configurational partition function, which is the interesting part of the partition function because it contains the interactions. This is the part that we really want to compute. And then something, which is the integration of momenta, which is common to all particles, and which is not relevant if we want to study the interactions. So integration of the momenta can be done exactly. This is just a Gaussian integral in 3n dimensions. We do a change of variables, and then we scale everything, we integrate, and then we get this factor, which is 2m pi kt to the power 3n over 2. So we get the expression which is in the last line for Q, and then we again introduce the de Broglie length scale, and so we get this factor 1 over lambda 3n n factorial times z. This is our usual expression for Q, which is written in the next page, is the free energy, which is minus kT, the logarithm of this quantity. As an example, let's see that we get again the same expression for the Helmholtz free energy for an ideal gas, a monatomic gas, of course, always. We only consider monatomic gases. So in this case, U is zero, there are no interactions. And so the integration over position just gives a factor V to the power n. Z is trivial in this sense. So we get this F ideal, which is the free energy of an ideal gas. And as it stands, okay, it's not clear whether this quantity is extensive. So we do the calculation using the Stirling formula for logarithm of n factorial. And if we plug everything together, we see that we get two terms. One term is nkt times the logarithm of lambda cube n over v, and then a second term, which is minus nkt. The second term is obviously extensive, it's just proportional to n. And the first term is extensive once you note that the argument of the logarithm is intensive, as it contains n over v, which is the number density, so is rho. So the argument is intensive, and so also this term is proportional to n, and it is extensive. And if you compare what we got in the microcanonical ensemble, this is exactly the same expression. So nkt, the logarithm of rho lambda cube minus nkt. In the general case, one often splits the free energy into two parts. One part, which is the so-called ideal contribution, and then a second part, which is called the excess contribution. And it works this way. You take the free energy for a generic system, and then you split it into two pieces. You add in the first piece a factor of Vn, and then in the second piece, you get minus kT logarithm of Z, divided by Vn. So Vn cancels once you put those two terms together. But once you've done this splitting, the first term is exactly the ideal gas-free energy, and the second term is the contribution due to the interactions, and it's usually called the excess free energy, in the sense that it is the energy which comes after the in addition to the ideal gas contribution. Once we have this expression, we can compute the chemical potential. So the chemical potential we can compute from the expression of dF. We know that dF, the differential of F, is minus sdT minus pdV plus mu dN. And so if we want to get mu, we just take the differential of F with respect to N, fixing T and the volume. Since F is the sum of an ideal contribution and an excess contribution, we can introduce two different contributions to the chemical potential. The ideal contribution, which is the potential that you compute using F ideal, and then the excess contribution, which is computed taking the derivative of the excess free energy. So let's compute the ideal contribution. So we should take the derivative with respect to N, fixing T and V of the ideal free energy, which is quite trivial and appears in three different locations. It's prefactor of the logarithm, inside the logarithm, and in the constant. So then we take the derivatives, the two terms, the KT, cancel, and at the end we just get a single term, which is KT logarithm of rho times lambda cube. And of course, note that it is intensive. The chemical potential is an intensive quantity. And then we get the final expression, which is at the end. So we get KT logarithm of rho lambda cube, which is the ideal contribution, the ideal chemical potential. And then we have the excess chemical potential, which is the interesting quantity, as it depends on the interactions.